You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
Still, oh, challenge. Oh, right. Whew. I'm ready for that. Oh, dear. Before I start, I can't shake this, but I feel to talk to you, Matt, this morning. When you came in, God just highlighted a ladder to me. I don't know whether you climb ladders or you make ladders or do something with ladders, but I just sense that God was saying, come higher. Climb out of the circumstances. Look to me. There's a Greek word called a blepo, whatever it is, and it means to look up. And I just sense God saying to you, my son, look up, look higher than the circumstances, because the circumstances that you're in right now are temporary. And even if they're good, I want you to walk higher with me. I want you to look higher to me, and I'm going to reveal things to you that you're going to share to the rest of the world. Hopefully that means something to you this morning, Matt. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you today for your message. As Diane said this morning and prayed this morning, come the wind of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come from wherever you want to come. From east or west or north or south, wherever you want to come from today, blow through this place. Blow through this place. Change our mindsets. Blow the chaff out of our life. Lord, let us see clearer. Let us hear clearer today. Let us become as one. In your Son, Jesus. Amen. In my preparation time this morning, I prophesied to myself. and I think it's a good thing to do. I think it's great to prophesy things and to feel the heartbeat of the Father and what he's saying. And in amongst all of that, I've just sort of paraphrased a little bit. And it was about a wind of the Spirit blowing through my own life, but also through here. I think Julie had a word a few weeks back that the wind of the Spirit would blow through here and that the doors would stay open. And so Arthur, can we leave the doors open, please? Thanks, buddy. It's just so funny that he's playing with those doors right now, because that's exactly what I'm speaking about, is that the wind of the Spirit's going to blow through here and open those two back doors. And I think just prophetically, we're just going to leave those doors open for a few weeks, just prophetically letting the wind of the Spirit blow through this place. The prophetic word, I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit, it was to set your sail into the wind. I prophesied that we would set our sail into the wind, that we would get into the ship, that we wouldn't be left behind, that it is a beginning of an amazing journey and a great time together, time to leave the harbour of comfort. Find your sea legs, the rhythm of the sea. It's a time of adventure. It's a time to be on purpose. And it's a time to be all aboard. And I prophesied this over myself, but I prophesied over this church, that we would start to catch the wind of the Spirit and that we would find our rhythm again. And there's this scripture that keeps standing out to me for the last couple of weeks. And it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it's in the message. I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase Bible. So your NIV is going to struggle a bit as I read this. And it says this: "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." And this is the bit: "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jan, you mentioned grace this morning, the unmerited favour of God. We didn't do anything to get it. It's an absolute free gift by faith. It's the power of God working in your life, His grace. Powerful. Can't do life without His grace, without the power of God. The unforced rhythms of grace, meaning no effort required, and it's just natural. It just becomes natural. When you're flowing, when a person's flowing in their gift, you see it just being natural. Golfers, you look at Adam Scott and you go, well, he's no really different than anybody else, but he knows he's in a rhythm. They get into a rhythm and it's virtually unstoppable. Tiger Woods, they reckon he can stop halfway through a swing because a fly landed on his nose. Let me tell you, it's very hard to commit to a swing and stop halfway, you know. So he understands the rhythm. And I want to talk about the rhythms of grace, but also the rhythm of the wind of the Spirit blowing through this place. Rhythm means a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. We have natural rhythm. Our heartbeat this morning is a natural rhythm. It's just beating away. We're totally unaware of it. And it's just going boom, 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 boom. It's a natural rhythm. Your pulse is the same. Time is a natural rhythm. Tempo of a song is hopefully in time. Great job this morning, guys. I love that new song this morning. It was awesome. A poetic rhyme that has a natural rhythm, has a flow to it. A measuring tape has rhythm. Centimeter, centimeter, meter, meter, kilometer, kilometer, mile, mile. Nature has a rhythm. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. There's seasons, there's days, and there's years. They're all natural God-given rhythms. But I'm wanting to speak a little bit about spiritual rhythm and understanding spiritual rhythm of His grace, of His rest, of His peace. If we lose our spiritual rhythm of peace, we're sunk. Keeping the spiritual rhythm of just of His love, and let it be flow through our life. These are the things I want to talk about this morning. I believe the fivefold ministry needs to come back to the church. Keith was saying it last week. And what I mean by that is just basically they're people that are a gift to the body of Christ. There's a gift of apostolic, a gift of evangelism, a gift of prophetic, a gift of teacher and evangelist, I think. And there's other giftings as well, administration and serving and so on and so on. The gifts day is going to be awesome with Keith and Diane. I can't wait for that day on Saturday, the 7th of February. 6th of February. And I do believe the apostolic gift needs to come back to the church. And it's just bringing a fresh new flavour to the church, a fresh new way of doing church and looking at church. And it's about equipping you. It's not about a one-man band anymore. It's about equipping you. So I think the first thing that we need to do as I talk about the wind of the Spirit catching your sail and moving into new waters is we have to leave the comfort of the harbour. You know, faith without action is dead. You can't have all faith and no action, and you can't have all action and no faith. They're both dead in themselves. But bring them together and it produces something. If you take salt and separate salt, which I think's hydrochloric acid, is it hydrochloric? No, it's not hydrochloric acid. Sodium, yeah. Come on, teachers. Sodium chloride. So you've got sodium by itself will kill you, and chloride by itself will kill you. But if you put the two together, a chemical reaction takes place and it produces salt, which we can use. Who likes salt? Not supposed to have too much salt on a diet. But there's something about a reaction that takes place in the Spirit when we put faith and action together. Something of God's Spirit comes together and there's a reaction that takes place. And it becomes amazing. And so when I say we have to leave the comfort of the harbour, it means we have to bring these two things together and move with the wind of the Spirit. Not all of us like change. I love change. I just do. And I'm always in trouble for that. But then on the flip side of that, there's people that don't like change. Please do not change whatsoever. Don't move that pulpit anywhere else but there. But there has to be some sort of compromise if we're going to move in the Spirit, if we're going to move and follow the wind of the Spirit, because he could be coming this way today, and so we need to move with him that way. He could be coming this way today, but we need to move with him that way. Sailing, an act of beginning a voyage or of leaving a harbour. Sailing. Anybody been sailing? Anyone know much about sailing? Put your hand up. Sailing. Just about four or five. Okay. I'm not getting into the sailing stuff today. But one experience I did have, actually a couple of experiences I'll bring out, but today one was on the P&O. And it was a cruise ship. So it really wasn't a sailing ship, but on the P&O, you basically sit back and are fed and fed and fed. And you can dance the night away, or you can sleep the day away, you can get around the pool and do nothing at all. That's not the kind of ship I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about the Love Boat either. You know, where it's exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. The Love Boat. Come on, join in with me. That was a dumb show. In fact, I don't think I ever watched any of it. I just remember the tune. Come on, man. You guys. When I think of sailing, I think of the Sydney to Hobart race. This year was a very different year again. A lot of the big yachts went out and cut hard into the wind and got damaged. So I'm not talking about cutting hard into the wind and being damaged. I'm talking about flowing, finding the rhythm of the wind of the Spirit. Finding the rhythm, finding his rhythm. Another thought there was, do you remember Jessica Watson, the girl that, I don't think she circumnavigated the world, but I think it was the Southern Hemisphere or something, or I can't remember. But there was a moment where there was no wind at all. For a few days. And she wrote in a diary basically words to the effect of, like, I want to die. I know whether you've had those sort of times where you feel like, man, I don't know what he's talking about. I've never experienced the wind of the Spirit. I've never felt the wind on my face of God moving. Well, I want to encourage you today that there is a wind blowing. There's just a gentle breeze. And if you come with me on this journey, we'll feel it together. And his Spirit is here right now, just blowing through this place, just gently on your face. And he's leading us in a particular direction today. And we need to trust him. Those who wait upon the Lord will what? Will renew their strength. I just licked the microphone then. Because I was getting a page. That's bad, isn't it? It actually tastes quite salty. I don't know whether you've licked a microphone before, but I don't recommend it. The second thing that I see to finding the wind of the Spirit and flowing with the wind of the Spirit is you need to find your sea legs. And getting your sea legs means that your brain adjusts to the rolling and pitching of the boat or ship. Learning to compensate for it. And ultimately experiencing the motion as normal. So even on the P&O ship, I had to take seasick tablets because any sort of movement on the sea and I'm gone. I don't know about you, but it's like... Ugh. But it's allowing yourself to adjust to the to and the fro of the ship and the Spirit moving. It's adjustment. It's flexibility. And so therefore, your symptoms of seasickness disappear without the need of any further treatment or medication. Back in Port Macquarie days, in a little place called Laurieton, a group of us blokes, 40 of us, decided we'd charter a boat, a fishing boat, a deep sea charter boat. And I'd never been out on one before. And said, oh, this sounds like a very cool idea. We'll go out and catch some fish like real men. Anyway, we're on this vessel and we're in the safety of the harbour and it's all, you know, jostling and, you know, geeing each other up. And so the boat takes off out from the wharf, the big twin turbo motors. Us all young cool guys are on the back of the boat with our sunnies on. You know, it's cool as, you know, the wind in your hair, and we're just cruising up the harbour out to where the wharf, the break, that's the break walls are. And as the minute we got to the break walls, the swells were like this, just very gentle, like this. These guys have done it heaps of times before, and I'm sitting there going, and under my glasses so no one could see, I'm going, heck, what's that? Can you feel that? That's so cool, isn't it, going up and down like this? This is so excellent. But it wasn't long before excellent turned into sunglasses off and a very serious face appeared. I think I was the first one to Burko over the side. We went right out deep. And there was, and the short story is, the sea was that bad that day that 37 of us did the Burko over the side. There were three guys that didn't, and they had a whale of a time throwing in the rod, pulling up the fish, didn't affect them one little bit. Eh? Plenty of burly, yeah. And they put the lines there. And we analysed it. They were three farmers. I don't get it. I don't get why the farmers were had iron stomach like that. I don't get it. But we were so crook. We did not have our sea legs whatsoever. And I basically said to the captain of the ship, I said, listen, the charter boat, we're going in now or else I'm jumping. Because I could see land, I don't care, I'm jumping. I was that desperate to get off this thing. Anyway, we eventually did turn it around because the sea was really bad that day. But, you know, when I got off that chartered vessel, I just hugged a tree. I was down on all fours going, I love land. You are so beautiful. I've never been a greenie until that day. I normally cut trees down, but trees were beautiful that day. And it's a term called land lubber. I love that word, lubber. Say it with me, lubber. Like flubber. Lubber. A land lubber is an unseasoned sailor or someone unfamiliar with the sea. I was unfamiliar with the sea. I did not have my sea legs, but eventually you can find your sea legs. And when you do find your sea legs, then you've got to find your land legs when you get off. Because then you adjust. See, it's about adjusting. So that first experience of just going out like that, and it being a bad experience, is I won't do that again. Sometimes we have those sort of experiences in God where it's not a great experience. And you go, I ain't doing that again. You might have preached for the first time or something like that, and it went terrible. And you go, I am not going to do that again. Well, I want to say we can do it again. It's okay to do it again. This is a safe place. This is a place where you can express yourself. This is a place where you can make a mistake or two. Look at me. I make mistakes all the time. It's just a matter of all of us flowing with each other and finding the rhythm of His grace. Finding the rhythm of forgiveness, finding the rhythm of His love for each other. So that was the second thing. We need to find our sea legs. The third thing is to trust that Jesus is in your boat. And there's two great stories in Matthew chapter 8, if you want to turn there. There's two moments with Jesus at sea. One's in Matthew 8 and one's in Matthew 14. And Matthew 8 and verse 23 says that then Jesus got into the boat and His disciples followed Him. It's interesting, Jesus got in first. And the disciples followed Him. Without warning. Who's ever had that? Without warning. Warning, warning. Dr. Smith, Dr. Will. A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke Him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Remember, these guys are seasoned guys. He replied, you of little faith, why are you afraid? Then He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Interesting that just without warning, the furious storm comes up. And often without warning, storms just come up. We don't expect them. Well, we sort of expect them. But not expect them, you know what I mean? You don't really want them to happen, so you're not expecting them. But they do happen. It's offences do come. And they're really not really meant. Most of the time, offence really isn't meant that way. It's just either read the wrong way. Sometimes it is deliberate. But I think most of the time, offences just come because we didn't get our way or... I don't know. I've been offended heaps of times, man. In fact, I think I've been the offender of many people in my day. I remember one time I was in this Bible study group as a young guy. I think I might have been, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something like that on this camp. And the team leader, we're all in this circle and people there. And this lady started to talk about forgiveness and forgiving people. And she said in this one moment, she said, "Now I want you to go up to some people that you need to forgive." Well, I had a line of people and I was only 13 years old. I'm going, wow, I was very popular. So I started very young in this particular area and I've learnt to curb it a fair bit, but I'm still going to do it. I'm sorry. But my heart's good. And I'm saying that. But without warning, sometimes these things happen. These things do come along. There really was a needless fear by the disciples because Jesus was in the boat. A fear had cropped up, but really it was a needless fear because Jesus was there. We need to keep Jesus and understand and trust that Jesus is in your boat. When you accepted Jesus into your life, he's in your boat. No matter what storm comes, even if the waves are crashing right over the top of you, he's in your boat. Call on him and he'll calm the storm. In fact, he actually tells us to calm the storm. But that's another message. Don't let the waves in your boat. Worry, fear, anxiety, overthinking, it'll sink you. They're unnecessary. Matthew chapter 14 is the second one. Second storm. Interesting storm, this one. Jesus walks on water. Say down in 23, somewhere in there. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountain. This is Jesus by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So there was a storm. During the fourth watch, which is early in the morning, the night Jesus walked out on the lake. Who knows, that's a miracle. Who'd like to walk on water? I've given it a go. I really seriously have. At a pool, I've given it a go. I'm absolutely serious. I'm going to walk on what didn't work. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus uses just one word, "come." You know, there's so much power in that one word, "come." So much power. "Come." Peter gets out of the boat, walks on water, and the minute he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks at the storm or the waves, he starts to sink. And often when we look at the circumstances, we begin to sink. When we start to worry and go into fear and all of those things, we start to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is perfecting you. He's perfecting your faith. Interesting, just little thought too, was both storms and boat rides were leading to something. Jesus just didn't go out on the lake, and I'm sure he was testing their faith. I mean, he'd just broken bread and fed 5,000 people and said, "Righto, now we're going out on the lake and we'll test your faith and see if you've got it yet." We could go down that line if you want. But I like to think that this was, Jesus was always on purpose and he was always going somewhere to do something. And both these stories, they were crossing over to the other side to do something. Was to be in ministry. The first one, Jesus, they went to the other side and healed the demoniac. And the demoniac got set free and then he became an evangelist to his whole township. This one, if we read here in verse 34, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. That's interesting. And all who touched him were healed. I just love that whole part about where Jesus says to Peter, come. And the power in the word come. You can do anything. When you hear God's voice, when you hear his voice, you can just be confidently able to follow his voice. When we feel the wind of the Spirit, we can be confident to flow with the Spirit. Three things so far. We have to leave the comfort of the harbour. We need to find our sea legs. We need to trust that Jesus is in our boat. And then we need to follow the leading or the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's pointless doing all those things and being prepared and ready and all of that without actually following the wind of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 8. It says, the wind blows everywhere it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. That's very typical of the Holy Spirit. If you've been around the Holy Spirit a bit, you're not quite sure where he's going to come from next. But I don't know about you, but I want to be open to that wind blowing here in this place. Whether it be from the front, out the back, or from the side across. But all I know is that we need to be flexible enough to move with that. And I think a lot of 2016 over here is going to be about being a little bit more flexible to move. Oh, the Holy Spirit's moving this way today. So, hey, we all need to set sail on this side and sail with that. And so you've got leaders in this place that are flexible and that are going to move with the wind of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see salvation in this place. We're going to see healing. We're going to see baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're going to see those things this year. I'm excited about the things that we've got planned for this year as we start to meet as a team and start to flow as a church. This is going to be an amazing journey. Are you ready to come? When Jesus said come, are you ready to come? Ready to walk on water? You ready to get wet? Are you ready to get sick? In that sense of like this motion I'm feeling right now. I don't know whether I can actually go with this, but I know I need to go with it because I'm in this family and we're going somewhere right now for a reason. It's not just going out of the harbour because we can, but because we're on mission. And we need to let this world know about his love, about his light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It's now time to stop talking about it and starting to do something about it. Faith on its own is a corpse. Action on its own is still a corpse. Pull them together and we've got something. So we're pulling together and starting to go somewhere. Steve last week talked about Abraham leaving to a place he didn't know. And often it feels like that. It feels like, under the Holy Spirit's leading, we're going to a place we don't know. You guys don't know what you're doing. You guys don't know where you're leading us. Yep. That's right. Are you going to come? We're going to trust the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust that we're hearing his voice. We're going to trust that we will be led to where God needs us to go. This is a great and mighty church with great people in it. And it's going to grow. It's going to test our faith. It's going to do all sorts of things to us. But it's going to do good for us when we learn to adjust, be flexible, move with it. Some days are just going to be great. There'll be just no wind at all. Who's going to like those days? I mean, they're not too bad because it causes you to think. It causes you to stop. It causes you to wait. It causes you to ponder. What's next? Wonder where the wind's going to come from. But then there'll be days where like, wow, what's this storm running through here? We need to batten down the hatches and we need to hold on tight. But let's hope most of the journey is a good one, with the wind in your face and a smile on your face and a, you know, clip the heels, Toyota ad sort of stuff. I really believe that. I'm a firm believer of that. Finding your rhythm again. I believe we're going to be able to find our rhythm again. Just moving with his rhythm. And it'll just become so second nature. It's like your heartbeat. You don't even know it's beating. But there'll be this rhythm of his grace, rhythm of his anointing, just the rhythm and the flow of the Holy Spirit in this place. That's what I'm believing for. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the journey that we're on together. I thank you for the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Lord, I thank you that we are all here together and moving together. Lord, I thank you for your wind. Help us to move with your wind. Help us to find your rhythm. If we're struggling at all, just help us to wait, to trust you. Find the rhythm again. Find his peace. Find his love. Find his joy again. I thank you, God, for the rhythm and the wind of the Spirit blowing through this place. In your precious name, amen. Awesome.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.